Penguin Random House Audio presents Black Rabbit Hall by Eve Chase. Read for you by Natalie Buscombe and Katie Scarfe with Cassandra Campbell. I held him wise, and when he talked to me of snakes and birds and which God loved the best, I thought his knowledge marked the boundary where men grew blind, though angels knew the rest. If he said hush, I tried to hold my breath. Wherever he said come, I stepped in faith. Brother and Sister, George Eliot. Prologue. Amber. Last day of the summer holidays, 1969, Cornwall. I feel safe on the cliff ledge. Safer than in the house, anyway. A few feet from the coast path, it's a 20-minute scramble from the edge of the estate. Far enough from Black Rabbit Hall's watching windows. A secret place. I hover on the cliff above it for a moment or two. Wind snapping my dress against my legs. Soles of my feet tingling. Then lower myself carefully, gripping the clumps of grass. Sea roaring in my ears. Best not to look down. One small, heart-stop drop, and I'm perching right on the edge of sky. Jump too wide, it's all over. I wouldn't do it, but it occurs to me that I like the fact I could, that I have some control over my destiny today. Pressed against the cliff wall, I finally catch my breath. So much frantic searching. Woods, rooms, endless stairs, heels rubbed raw in two small tennis shoes, and I still haven't found them. Where are they? Shading my eyes from the sky dazzle with my hand, I scan the bottle green cliff tops on the other side of the cove. Deserted. Only cattle in the fields. I inch down then, spine against the rock, and hitch up my dress brazenly, so that air tunnels through my bare, bent legs. Still, at last. I can't outrun the events of the day any longer. Even the sound of the waves and the rocks makes my slapped cheeks sting afresh. I blink, and there is the house, silhouetted on the inside of my eyelids. So I try to keep my eyes open and let my mind loose in the vast pink sky, where the sun and moon hang like a question and an answer. I forget that I am meant to be searching, that minutes move faster than clouds at dusk. I think only of my own escape. I don't know how long I sit there, my thoughts pierced by a huge black bird diving over the cliff, so close its talons might catch in my hair. I instinctively duck in its wing draft, nose meeting the cool skin of my knees. And when I look up, my gaze is no longer on the sky, but on flotsam bobbing on the high tide swell below. No. Not flotsam. Something more alive. A dolphin? Or those jellyfish that have been washing up in our cove all week, like a lost cargo of grey glass bowls? Maybe. I lean forward, dipping my face over the edge to get a better view, hair blowing wildly, heart beating a little faster, starting to sense something terrible shifting just below the shimmering blue surface. Not quite seeing it. Not yet.
Chapter 1. Lorna, more than 3 decades later. It is one of those journeys. The closer they get to their destination, the harder it is to imagine that they'll ever actually arrive. There is always another bend in the road, a judder to the dead end of a farm track. And it is getting late, too late. Warm summer rain is drumming on the roof of the car. I say we cut our losses and head back to the B&B. John cranes over the steering wheel to get a better view of the road liquefying behind the windscreen. Grab a pint and plan a way.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?